Hallelujah. Well, I want to, as we're in this month of January, and we're right at the cusp of the new year, we're setting kind of some priorities. How many of you know that God made you for a whole lot more than you may have experienced? That God has some high plans and destined things for each of us, and hell comes along and wants to take it away, somehow cause you to be troubled, disturbed somehow in a way that, or you end up just not fulfilling what God's got for you. So today, this is kind of to help us step into the release of fulfilling things. Last week, we talked about breaking the spirit of discouragement, or the spirit that comes along through a discouraging thing and begins to want to choke out the sense of expectancy for meaningful things for your life. I believe the Lord, if you didn't hear that, we do have that recorded. It's on my website, and also as a link on the Facebook page. But if that quickens in you and say, hey, you know what, I have gone from disappointments, there was an unction on there to really help liberate from that. And that's a good thing. So today, we'll repeat this. This is the title, From Your Crisis to Your Crown. Now there's some hope in there, isn't it? From Your Crisis to Your Crown. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, 1 and 2. Now, I am going to be speaking out of the New King James Version, and I want us to start with this, and then we'll just get a running start here. After the Hebrews chapter 11 describes the faith of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Rahab, Gideon, Samson, Samuel, David, and others. After this group of people and their faith is shown, the acts of faith that they did in God, after that's all done, Hebrews 12 begins, Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. So that's referring to all those people that put their faith in God. The Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Then he is also a rewarder. Everybody say rewarder. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so we find ourselves sometimes in different crises, but know that in the midst of that, God has a crown to put on your head. And so we're going to get into that. So in the midst of this, he says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. I'll go ahead and tell you the first fill in the blank is the crisis of sin. The crisis of sin. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Now that's interesting. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I have the definition, just a basic definition for crisis right there on the top of your notes. Crisis, a stage and a sequence of events at which the trend of all future events, especially for better or worse, is determined. A turning point. So this is pivotal for us to understand this. A stage in a sequence of events at which the trend of all future events, especially for better or worse, is determined. Everybody say turning point. Everybody say defining moment. So your crisis can be a defining moment, a defining season, a place in which it seems like everything's gone wrong, and that's the heartbeat. That place is where God's going to cause things to go according to a choice that you make. But there's first one we face is the crisis of sin. Because I don't know about you, but I shot myself in the foot. I did things wrong because of earlier abuse, things that happened in my life. I went to medicate that. I didn't get healed of it as a kid. I went to medicate it. All of the addictions are out there. All the addictions are because people are medicating a need that they have deep inside for healing, for something that went wrong. And they're doing something in their life that's causing it. Look, how much alcohol can you drink before they don't do it? And then the drugs. How many drugs can you take before that don't? How much fornication can you pull off before that doesn't do anything? How much sin can you do? There's a crisis in sin. You can't do a lot of it and feel great. And it's the first place we come to. Because of this great cloud of witnesses, come and lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily ensnares. And let's start running a race. Does everybody have their own testimony of when you were down in the middle of your pit? You know who's really good at describing that pit? King David. He's awesome. In Psalm 38, I have a little bit there for you, but I'm going to read a little before then. Just to pick a few of these verses out of here. Listen to this. This is verse 4. For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Anybody been there? Done that? Got the t-shirt. My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. That's getting right up in your business there. I'm utterly bowed down and prostrate. All the day I go about mourning. But for you, O Lord, I do wait. It is you, O Lord God, who will answer. And this is the verse I put in your notes. For I am ready to fall, and my pain is ever before me. Then he says, I confess my iniquity. I'm sorry for my sin. There's a crisis that happens when you can't get out of it. And you're miserable because of it. And the whole world is going that way. It's so important to have worked through your stuff. Everybody say, work through your issues. It's so important to bring yourself to the cross. It's an amazing thing what God does at this point. What he does is he gives a gift to the hurting heart. It's the most precious gift you can ever receive. It's called the gift of repentance. God gives you a capacity to turn from what you're doing. Hallelujah. Paul, and then, of course, he impacts you with this whole thing about you receive his forgiveness and the weights come off. And when the weights come off, you think you're all done. And then the Lord says, no, we're getting started. Because the way I forgave you, I want you to go forgive everybody in your life. And you go, no. He goes, yes. Because you just want to enjoy it. The Lord said, no, we're going to promote it. My kingdom's going to come in you and you're going to love people that you couldn't love. Because I'm going to give you a power to do it. And it's going to come via forgiveness. And then you find out your brain is full of bad thoughts. And you just messed up there. And God says, I want you to meditate on my thoughts. And you learn to begin to think after God's word. And you think of those things. And then you realize the Holy Spirit's saying, now we're going to do some of it. And you begin to learn to not only think after God, but start to act like him. And a few years go by and you're like, all that burden of sin and all those thoughts I had about myself being worthless, and they're all gone. And I care about people in a way I never did before. Hey, you're experiencing the power of Jesus Christ. The power of the gospel. This is what's happened. You're coming out of the crisis. And you're obtaining a crown. You're coming out of the place where this event, if you'd have stayed in it, and there are those that do, it's still in my head. It's kind of hard to shake this one. There's a head of an atheist organization, and he declares that the reason he is that he found out that there wasn't a Santa Claus. Somebody kisses boo-boo so he can believe. This is a childish emotion. Has grown up in a man, and he never put down the childish things and grew up. How many of you have some stuff like that? Where something happens and you just get this agitation comes up and you got to realize, wait a minute, when did that start happening in my life? You got to deal with that stuff. The crisis of sin. The crisis of sin. And God says, I have a crown for you to wear. I want to touch on this one, and then this was the one that in the midst of a lot of my brokenness, God used this psalm, Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And let me add, not by himself. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. And then listen to this. Verse 3, for when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For night and day your hand was heavy upon me. I remember this. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Selah. I would stop, let the music come in and create a whole attitude of, I'm not doing well. And then verse 5, I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Everybody, transgressions is outward. Iniquity is inward. Isn't that amazing? When he says you were wounded for our transgressions, that's an outward wound. You were bruised for our iniquities. The bruise is an inward thing. So what's going on inside of you that nobody sees, nobody knows about? That's the stuff that Jesus was bruised for. Those inward pains. Jesus is near to the brokenhearted. He cares about you if you've been torn up. You look fine on the outside, but you're torn up in there. He really cares about you. That's amazing. Won't go the whole thing. So anyway, many of you know that statement. Until, it's on your paper, until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change, you won't change. Isn't that true? So there's a good thing about sin's crisis. It's the pain that motivates. It begins to get you out of the place you've been and brings you into the hopeful place of turning to God. And then God grants you the repentance. He gives you a capacity to turn from your sins and to begin to get in a group of people that are heading the same way toward the cross, toward the glory of God, toward Jesus. And you begin to get better as you go. Amen. I tell many people who show up among us, I say, we got two things. Actually, a bunch of things. We're all about discipleship here. This is not an entertainment church, okay? It can be entertaining because I don't want to be boring. You know, but I'm not here just to entertain you, like do little puppet shows. It could be about Jesus, but I might even bring a puppet one day, you know. But I'm not here to entertain, but this is discipleship. What's discipleship? Jesus said, go and disciple all nations. Jesus said this. Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. How do we do this? You come in here, somebody might hug you, greet you, and then next thing you know, we encourage you to encounter God's presence and worship. Then we encourage you to turn and learn how to pray. Then we encourage you to learn how to give. Then we encourage you with the Word of God and all kinds of things. Then we encourage you to come up on the platform if you have other issues that need to be addressed. Then we encourage you to fellowship with one another, get to know one another. It's all about discipleship. The whole thing is wired for that. Do you know you can go places and never learn to pray? Never learn to worship? Never learn to give your life away? Never learn to give? And they call it the church. I don't understand it. Never, never, never. That brings us to the next crisis. The crisis of faith. The crisis of faith. The crisis of faith. This is when you're doing the right thing and everything goes wrong. This is not when you're doing wrong. This is not when you're doing wrong and everything goes wrong. This is when you're doing everything right and everything goes wrong. This is different. This is the crisis of faith. Hey, I think the breath of God got in the house right now. Because these are the days. These are the days where the crisis of faith is occurring. These are the days right now where people are making decisions. Am I going to walk with Him or not? Is it too hard for you? That's the crisis of faith. Right? Jesus pointed it right out as the second seed sowing thing. When he said these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root. They have not any root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time. And look at this guy. Look, afterward, wind, tribulation, bad stuff, or persecution, bad people, arises for the what? Not for your sin, but for the word's sake. You obeying the Lord and this stuff comes up. Are you there? Just let that settle in. That you have trials because you're following Jesus and you're doing it right. It's for the word's sake. It's for the word's sake. But it says there's some people that says their character's not developed. Here's what I love about the Lord. If you messed up on that before, guess what? You can try again. It's called grace. You can keep going until you develop the character to go through it. How many of you have done that? I kept hanging around realizing, wait a minute, he's not giving up on me like I have. I could go through this. I could become something in Christ Jesus. But the tribulation, the persecution, stuff going wrong, people going wrong, these all come up. Why? Because of the Word. Because of the Word of God in you. Because you're laying hold of the truth of the Word of God. Because you're going downtown to build something. All kinds of creepy, crawly, weird, demonic, spiritual stuff happens. What the heck? What's going on here? Because of that. Not because I've sinned, because I'm doing right. Hello? Anybody? I got a few bobbing heads, you know. It's true, isn't it? Oh, Heather, I'll never forget. Heather and I were in a, living in Texas, and we went to somewhere, some carnival or something, or some big county fair. And there was this booth. It was a fortune teller, and it was a Hispanic lady. And we were just walking by, and this thing manifested, this thing in her manifested. Get out of here! She just turned into this wild person. I'm going, I think it's because we love Jesus, honey. I think that's why. I think you and I are lovers of Jesus, and I think the demon in there is not one. You remember that thing? That was wild. For the Word's sake, you're walking in the light. Things react because of it. People want to plot and do things because you're not living in the light. I mean, they're not living in the light. But you are. Has anybody been getting helped to hear it a little bit just today? Hallelujah. We could all go home, man, right now. But there's more on the paper. You want to finish? Paul is the one that has this thing. But before we get going, I gotta tell you, I put these little scriptures down if you want to refer to them later on this point. Listen to this. I define it as the vision of a greater purpose worth paying the price for. Isn't that good? The vision of a greater purpose worth paying the price for. And this is the scripture. Hebrews 11:24-26. Listen to this, guys. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Do you know the Bible right here teaches delayed gratification for future reward? That he would choose rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward. This is an amazing verse. He's saying, there's something out ahead, and this ain't it. I've been in this, you know, I've been all around Pharaoh. I grew up here. This is not it. This is not it. This is not. By the way, I said this once before, but you know, when it comes just to relationships, in your heart, there's a place that only God can fill. But people that don't know the Lord put the pressure on another person to fulfill that. And it deteriorates the relationship. Until you have the Lord in there filling that. You know, good marriages, it's actually three involved. It's the Lord and then the man and the woman. Jesus is in the middle. And he's meeting needs. Right? I just wanted to throw that in there. Now, let's go on. Paul takes this same concept a little bit, and he says it this way in 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So now what you're going through, I love the movie Unbroken, because that little phrase in that movie, he says, his brother told him, if you can take it, you can make it. If you can take it. If you haven't seen the movie, I recommend that. If you can take it, you can make it. And he made it. Went through incredible trials. Never was broken by that prison warden. It's amazing. Paul is saying, this light momentary affliction is nothing to be compared to the surpassing glory that you and I will experience. So I got to hustle here. I have a whole part here on Paul, and I'm going to skip it. But it's basically Philippians 3:7-21. It's about him counting everything rubbish in order to gain Christ. So let's look at our last point. Before I say the last point, before you put it up. James 4:14 says, "What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." What is your life? It's a mist. It's a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes. So what is God about in your life? There's a cry. If you've gone through the crisis of sin and turned and your trajectory is now Jesus Christ, and then you start, and then the crisis of faith comes, what's it all about? What's God in? Well, he's into this. Number three, the reward of a crown. Now, the crown, the word, the Greek word for crown, I just put the greed word, that's Greek actually, fix that little D there. A Greek word for crown or wreath, it's the same word, it's the Stephanos. It's where we get the name Stephen, Stephanos. It's a mark of exalted rank, the eternal blessedness which will be given as a prize to the genuine servants of God and Christ. In Revelation 4, it records that these elders are around the throne of God and they cast their crowns before the throne. And then back here, I put this verse, Revelation 3:11. Jesus is telling the church in Philadelphia, "I'm coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown." And I don't know when they got it. Have you ever seen somebody been in the ministry a long time and there's just something that rests on them? I think of Jack Hayford that way. I think of some kind of a, there might be something in it today, but you can't see it, but maybe something that rests there. That then you get to heaven, you realize it was a crown. It's a place, it's a something of a mark of exalted rank, a place of a thing of blessedness. That's and we don't know when we receive them, but I want you to go ahead and turn over your paper and let's go ahead and look at the kinds of crowns. God has crowns. Tell somebody next to you, God has a crown for you. Go ahead and tell him he's going to turn your crisis. And give you a crown. Is that right? So these are the crowns. There's an imperishable one. The imperishable crown. What's it for? It's for leading a disciplined life. Leading a disciplined life. I suggest you read the whole all around it, but it says this. And by the way, many versions will use the word wreath here. It's the same word. Stephanos, the same word. Wreath or crown, doesn't matter. The whole idea is that it's something that God puts upon you that marks you in exalted rank for having completed what he's called you to be and do. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord has a crown to put on your head. Let's just go ahead and realize this. And you're going to just be so overwhelmed by the glory of God, you're going to take it off and throw it at his feet. But you're going to get it. If you like it. If you want to live an undisciplined life, then forget the crown. But if you want to go through and become what Jesus wants you to be, look forward to the fact that he's going to place a crown on your head. For everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, and they do not obtain a perishable crown, for an imperishable. Everybody say imperishable. Uncorruptible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next one, the title of rejoicing, a crown of rejoicing. This one is actually for evangelism and discipleship. If you've ever helped somebody come to know Jesus and help them along the way to develop in their spiritual life and grow up in Christ. If you've not, I encourage you to do so. There's a crown for you. If you could take somebody under your wing and help them learn how to read the Bible and receive something from Jesus and help disciple them along, teach them to pray, then you get the crown of rejoicing. The word here, some versions use the crown of boasting. Basically, the Greek word is kahesis. I wrote out kahe and sis. It's kind of cute. Kahesis. And it just means the act of glorifying or glorying. The act of glorying. And there's a glory that God wants to put on your head because you help somebody. Isn't that wonderful? We don't talk about the rewards, but Jesus is looking to give you a crown. And he notices when you help. And you'll show up, you'll have a stack of crowns. Maybe wear one at a time, or maybe just have them all. Maybe they're just, I don't know how they work. But I want us to get the vision in our heart that Jesus is a rewarder of those who do what he invites them and empowers them to do. I just feel very close to Jesus right now. Because he has rewards for you and for me. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? And you might say, well, isn't that just the person is the crown? Maybe. But there's the word Stephanos is here. Maybe it's the fact that there'll be so much high-fiving. But somehow God's going to put some crown here. Let's look at the next one. I love this one, the crown of righteousness. Why? For loving the Lord's appearing. For loving the Lord's appearing. Wow. Henceforth is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The crown of righteousness for loving Jesus coming back. Is anybody ready for that one? That seems like an easy one. Unless your heart starts loving the world and feeding the flesh and all that. But if you're looking for him, 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, we are now God's children, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. There's another promise in the Bible that you're going to just be transformed just like what Jesus is all about. Isn't that good? Everybody say crown of righteousness. Go ahead and have your head fitted. Okay, you ready for this one? A crown of life. Hallelujah. Crown of life for enduring trials. Crown of life for enduring trials. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who loved him. We have a verse also in Revelation 2:10. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. You may be tested for 10 days. You will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death. I will give you the crown of life. And lastly, there's one for shepherds, a crown of glory for shepherding God's flock faithfully. A shepherd, the flock of God is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And I know the Lord's so generous that if you just help shepherd people's souls, there's a crown for you. Anybody feel motivated? Motivated to serve the Lord in a deeper way? If you don't know the Lord, your starting place, of course, is coming to where all of us have had to come. Come to the cross. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we might present the mature in Jesus Christ. For this I toil eagerly with all the energy he gives me. We come, it's just Christ crucified. Christ crucified. Jesus was died for your sins. When it says work out your salvation with fear and trembling, the concept is this. That you be in awe of what Jesus has done. That's the fear and trembling part. If he did all this for me, if he did all this for me, if he did all this for me, oh my God, I must work out. Every capacity he gives me to grow, I'm taking. And if you have not, you know, there are many, many people in this area of the country that they go to church and they hear the gospel and stuff, and they're told they're believers. I was in a church, growing up in a church, and because I went to the church, I was told I was a Christian. And so when I heard the word Christian, I thought, yeah, I'm one of those. Until one day, the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not. Man told you that, but God didn't. You know, you're not going to heaven with me just because they told you. You need me. You have to have me. And I remember the day. 45 minutes on my knees, bawling my eyes out. You don't have to go through that, by the way. I was just really messed up, and God wanted to start me off really good. But I received him, and he changed me on the inside. And if you need that today, he's there to do it. He wants to change you deeply. Give you a, if you've known of him, and need a fresh work in your heart, today's your day. Today's your day. Let's just lift our heads, close our eyes just for a moment. Let's just say this. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I give myself 100% to you. I turn from my junk. I turn from my sins. Whatever crisis I'm in, I call upon you now. I repent for what I've done. And I receive your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. I receive you. It is my choice to walk in the newness of Christ. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the Lord. He's the Savior of our souls. Let's all stand together if you would. Hallelujah. If you prayed for the first time or you have a renewed sense, come on up to the platform and there's a further agreeing prayer. And I'm going to invite you to do that as we finish and then we'll fellowship for a little bit. Don't run out right away. Just hang out. We'll have a cup of coffee, some cookies or whatever, something. And we'll have fun. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's love on each other, church.